الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. First and foremost, I would advise the brothers to remain, as the khutbah was mashallah very beneficial. So unless you really have some business to attend to, if you could stick around, I suggest you do so. If not, then you may listen to this translation on the website oneway to paradise.net, in case you're unable to remain. The Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, began by telling us that we will be going today to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, seeking the light therein and the guidance as well, and so we may retrieve some of our honor and dignity. It is through the biography of a very unique individual that the history has not known anyone in his caliber, and all kinds of heroic acts were manifested in his personality, and he has been an honor for Islam and the Muslims all along. Why do we move to Medina, he said, while there's plenty of smoke and a lot of wounds and pain, in order for us Muslims to retrieve some of our honor and remember something, even if it's a little bit, about our dignity that Allah has bestowed upon us, and maybe those of understanding will take an admonishment from this reminder. As Allah says in the Quran, verily in their stories there was wisdom, there's a beneficial point. It is not just for the mere narrations. He said, we are in Medina right now, and we are not in the gardens of Medina, nor are we in the fancy palaces or any of the fancy businesses either. Rather, we are in a very secluded place, a place which the Khalifa, the second Khalifa of the Muslims, Umar al-Faruq, and he was called al-Faruq because of the quality of criterion, making distinction between truth and falsehood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this man, honored the Muslims, and he was a point of distinction between truth and falsehood. This is where he got his title, Umar al-Faruq radiallahu anhu wa arda. Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu saw Umar entering into a house. So then, a house of a woman at night. So after he left, he went into the house and he told this lady, what is the matter with this man visiting you? What does he come and do? She was an old woman who was blind and handicapped. She wasn't able to move. She told him, this man has been visiting me for such and such time. He rectifies my condition, he fixes my house, and he takes away the garbage and any harm that I have in the house. Then Talha said to himself, may your mother bereave you, meaning may you die and your mother be sad over your death. This is a statement that the Arabs used to use without meaning it in a literal sense. It's just a metaphoric statement. Takilatka ummuka, the Prophet ﷺ once said that to Mu'adh, meaning may you pass away and your mother be bereaved, meaning be sad over your death, but it is not meant in a literal sense where he's wishing death upon himself. He said, you are following Umar, yani you're trying to find fault in Umar. Talha thought something else, and it turned out that Umar radiallahu anhu was going into the house of this woman in order to take care of her, because she had no one else to take care of her. She was alone, she was blind, and she was handicapped. So the Shaykh said, what do we say, O Muslims, about a man of this caliber? We talk about his strong faith. Shall we speak about his strong faith, or his justice and his politics, or about his heroism and his strength and his bravery? Or do we speak to you about his asceticism? He was not concerned about life, or his poverty, or what? Or his wisdom, his eloquence. A blessed man that Islam had made an amazing thing out of. The history has never known anything of his nature, and woman has never given birth to anyone of his life. He has graduated from the University of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who brought him up and raised him with obedience and gave him the best qualities. life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily, in the nations that preceded you, there were men who received, they were inspired. Yani they were being guided by Allah to do the right things. And if there will be any among my ummah, then it will be Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu arda." Radiallahu anhu arda. Before Islam, Umar was a Bedouin. He was staunch, he was stern, very evil in character, from Bani Uday. And he was very staunch against the Muslims. He mistreated the Muslims, he persecuted the Muslims. And he hated the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his da'wah, until the people ran away and they ran away from Islam out of fear of Umar radiallahu anhu. So much so that the people used to say, the donkey of Al-Khattab will embrace Islam and Umar will never embrace Islam. And he hated Islam so much that they thought an animal would become a Muslim before Umar would become a Muslim. But indeed Umar radiallahu anhu embraced Islam. And this was good news based on the dua of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who asked Allah to guide one of the two Umars. And of course we know from the hadith that it was Umar radiallahu anhu al-Khattab, the one whom Allah guided to Islam. Ibn Mas'ud said in Sahih Bukhari, "Verily, we have been honored since Umar embraced Islam. Since Umar entered the Islam, they remained in a state of honor and dignity. And when the moment of migration came, all of the Muslims migrated in fear. Everybody hiding, trying to escape from a place where no one will chase after them and persecute them. Except Umar radiallahu anhu, he had a whole other attitude. He actually took out his sword and he had his bow and arrow. And he went to the Kaaba. He did tawaf. Then he spoke to the people over there, the Quraysh, addressing them. He said, basically by belittling them, if any one of you wants his mother to lose him, meaning for him to die, or if he wants to make his children orphans, or if he wants to make his wife a widow, then let him chase me beyond this particular valley." And no one was able to chase him radiallahu anhu beyond the valley. Everybody was scared of him. So this is the manner how he did his hijrah, unlike everybody else. And so Islam had made from the Umar was stern radiallahu anhu. You know, Abu Bakr was more soft than Umar, and each had a role to play in Islam. And this is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was of this nature that the kings and the kings of the Persians, the Persians and the Romans, they were afraid of him. Just knowing of him was means of them being afraid. The Prophet ﷺ said, and the most stern in regards to the commandment of Allah is Umar radiallahu anhu. And he would just say whatever the truth entailed. He would not be afraid of the blaming of those who are always complaining and blaming other people for enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. And you know, in the Asra, the war captives of Badr, when the Prophet ﷺ sought consultation with his companions regarding what to do with them, shall they treat them as war prisoners, captives, then they get the ransom in return for freeing them, or shall they kill them and execute them? When he consulted Umar radiallahu anhu, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Wallahi, I do not see what Abu Bakr saw." Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saw that they keep the disbelievers of Quraysh as war captives, then they will take money in return as means of honoring Islam. The intention was that they will benefit from that, and then they will give the war captives back. Umar said, "I do not see that which Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sees. But verily, I see that you allow me to get a hold of this person so I can chop off his head. And you allow Abu Bakr to get a hold of this person so he can chop off his head. And Hamza of this person so he can chop off his head. And Ali of Uqayl so he can chop off his head. So the disbelievers will know that we have no fear in our hearts concerning the disbelievers." Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disregarded that opinion. He did not go with it. Perhaps the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of his mercy, as it was known from him, he did not want to go to this extent. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran, the ayah of Surah Al-Anfal, verse 66, it was not for the Prophet, it was not for any Prophet to have war captives in the land until they have spilled the blood. Meaning once jihad is done and the non-Muslims recognize the strength and the power of Muslims, which many du'at today deny. Many people deny that we have jihad in Islam, and they claim that Islam can get peace in Islam, but Islam is not just peace. If there was only peace, there would be no jihad. And you cannot deny the Quran, you cannot deny the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and you cannot deny history. Rather, you learn the deen and you deliver the information in a way that is befitting. If the Christians complain about that, then we can find them from the Bible hundreds of verses that speak about violence and killing and things of this nature. But to go to the extreme where you see someone coming and speaking on behalf of Muslims and saying, wallah, we don't have anything in Islam. We're only a defensive jihad. If somebody comes to kill us, then we don't allow them. This is lying against the deen of Allah. And this is someone trying to make da'wah through falsehood. And Allah will not bless this form of da'wah. But at the same time, we had guidelines in our jihad. So women were not killed, children were not killed, homes were not destroyed, trees were not burned, animals were not killed. So then what terrorists do today is not Islamic. Building blowing up a building, killing people in the marketplace is un-Islamic. But if the Muslims come with the non-Muslims on the battlefield, then no one can deny that. Anyways, this is how they used to be. They didn't have any fear of anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah revealed this ayah. This is not for a prophet to have war captives unless he had spilled blood, unless he had showed the disbelievers the strength and the power of Muslims. And Allah says, really, you want the gain of the dunya, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the hereafter for you, and Allah is full of wisdom and the Almighty. And in the Ghazwat of Uhud, Abu Sufyan, this is before he became a Muslim, alhamdulillah, he embraced Islam afterwards. He stood up on the mountain and said, is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't say that, I'm saying that, amongst you? And no one replied. Is Abi Quhafa amongst you? No one replied. Is Umar ibn al-Khattab amongst you? No one replied. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told them not to reply to him. Then he said, Abu Sufyan, that he thought that they were dead. Since he said, he asked if they were available and no one answered, he concluded they had died. So he told his companions, those you have been sufficed. You don't have to worry about the Prophet ﷺ, you don't have to worry about Umar radiallahu anhu, they have already passed away. So Umar was unable to contain himself, so he got up and said, you have lied, O enemy of Allah. Verily those you have mentioned are alive, and Allah has left behind that which will bring you harm. And Allah has caused us to survive in order to take revenge from you. And in the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, the Prophet ﷺ had to deal with the strict conditions that the Qurayshis had imposed upon him in order for him ﷺ to keep peace. Umar radiallahu anhu became angry. He said, Ya Rasulullah, don't we have the truth? Aren't we upon the truth and they are upon falsehood? He said, yes. He said, aren't our dead in Jannah and their dead will be in the hellfire? He said, yes. He said, so why do we give them a portion of our deen? Do we go back? أَنَرْجِعُ وَلَمَّا يَحْكُمُ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ أَبَدًا. Do we come back or we wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges between us? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily I am the messenger of Allah and Allah will never leave me unattended. Allah will not let me go to waste, meaning Allah will take care of us. And indeed that particular sulh was fetch, was a means of victory for the Muslims, as you know from the seerah and from the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Shaykh said, this is the beloved brothers. During the time of this Imam, the Muslims were in order and they were organized. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had honored the people of Islam. And the enemies were afraid of him. People were amazed that a man whom even the shayateen were afraid of. The Prophet ﷺ told Umar, if you walk upon a path and the shaitan sees you, he will go to the other side of the street. He does not even want to travel upon the same path as Umar radiallahu anhu. Everybody used to be afraid of him. It mentioned that Caesar, the king of the Rome back then, he sent one of his messengers as a convoy to see the affair of Umar radiallahu anhu when he was a khalifa. And to see, you know, how does he handle himself. So this man entered into Medina, and he asked, he said, where is your king? Where is your king? They said, we don't have a king, but we have Amir al-Mu'mineen, the prince of the believer, or the leader of the believers. And he is outside on the outskirts of the Medina. So this man came, went looking for Umar radiallahu anhu. So he found him sleeping under the sun, on the dirt, under the sun, on the dirt, and he's using his war shield as his pillow, you know, made out of metal. And sweat is dripping down his forehead.
So when he sees them in this particular condition, this man, this disbeliever, khushu', submissiveness to Allah entered his heart. From seeing this, seeing him was forms of worship. These were the righteous brothers. These were the people that when the people see them, they knew that these were the righteous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the man said in his heart, this is the man that everybody's afraid of. I mean, this is the man that is everybody afraid of. He said, but verily, O Umar, you have done justice. You were just with the people. So you became in peace, and now you are in peace. You were peaceful and you are in peace. No one even can bother to come close to you. Whereas the other kings, they have oppressed. So it is no doubt that they will remain at night scared and afraid, having a lot of bodyguards around them in protection. He said, I bear witness that your deen is the religion of truth. Your religion is the religion of truth. And had I not come as a messenger from my king, I would have embraced Islam. But verily, I shall come back and embrace Islam. So just seeing him in this case was means for him to enter into Islam. Walhamdulillah. So the Shaykh said, have you heard, O Muslims, of someone of this greatness? Have you seen someone with this kind of humbleness? That he does not mind being in the state of not having any worldly gain. So the people, he was afraid of Allah, so the people were afraid of him. And he pleased Allah. And so the people were pleased with him, and Allah gave him authority upon earth. The whole dunya is afraid of him. And then he mentioned some poetry, which I would disregard because of the time. Then he quoted a verse from the Quran. Allah says, verily, that home of the hereafter, we shall make it strictly for those who do not seek arrogance and high positions in earth, nor do they seek corruption, and the good end is for the muttaqeen. Yani those who seem to be, who want to be the leaders in this dunya, Allah has made the hereafter for those who don't have this particular attitude. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding Umar, I was sleeping once and I seen a number of people wearing shirts. Some of them their shirt was up to their chest, others it was below that, and I seen Umar radiallahu anhu walking with a shirt that was, he was dragging behind him. So they asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how do you interpret that dream? He said, ad-deen, meaning this is his religious commitment. His religious commitment compared to others was like someone's thawb that is dragging behind him. Not that it is okay to do that, of course. And the other hadith in Sahihain, the Prophet ﷺ said, while I was sitting, suddenly I saw a container that was brought to me and it had some milk in it. So I drank from it until I became full and I almost saw the milk coming out of my nails. Then I gave whatever was left behind to Umar radiallahu anhu. So they said, how do you interpret that dream, O Messenger of Allah? He said, al-ilm, knowledge. Meaning that leftover was the knowledge that was given to Umar radiallahu anhu wa arda. And the second khutbah, the Shaykh said, Umar radiallahu anhu, although he was of this magnitude, of this greatness, he was also a devout, humble worshipper. And he was known for abundance of crying. Abdullah ibn Isa said, Umar radiallahu anhu had two black lines on his face from excessive crying. Talk about me and you today. 1400 years after, we don't do not even 2% of what he does, and one of his things that he's on one way to Jannah. And khalas, Jannah is within hand. Yani, don't ask me, brother, to do any more good deeds. Look, righteousness is flowing out of my face. And this is Umar ibn Khattab, where Prophet gave him glad tidings of Jannah, told him you're going to enter Jannah, and he would be crying all day and all night. So that shows you where me and you are from them. Furthermore, he would read an ayah from the Quran. And then he would choke, the tears would choke him where he's unable to continue it until he falls, he faints on the ground. And then he will remain at his home. People will continue to visit him for weeks thinking that he is sick. That he is sick, and he is not sick. He simply read an ayah from the book of Allah, and that was all that was required for him to remain ill in his house for a few weeks. Once he visited Abu Darda, and he said to Abu Darda, told him, do you remember a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated to us? He said, what hadith is that? He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, let one of you's sustenance for this dunya be equal to that which he carries on his mount. Yani, what you need of this dunya is what you will have in your car. How much can you put in your car? Just enough to get from point A to point B in terms of wealth and things of this nature. So then they started reminding, so he told them, what have we done afterwards to Umar? What have we done afterwards to Umar? So they continued to say that to each other until they
until the morning. This Imam Al-Azim, Umar radiallahu anhu, he was very much concerned about the conditions of the Ummah, seeking after their welfare, and he would aid them and do whatever he could. It was mentioned that once during the night he was going around the Medina making sure that everybody is in good condition, and a woman from the Ansar came to him carrying a container. He asked her about her affair and she said that she has many children and she does not have a servant, and that she goes out at night in order to get some water for her children, and she hates to go out during the day so the men will not see her. Tell this to our women today who are always at the Danube, you know, 6 hours of the day shopping, wearing half a day clothes. Allahu alam, for what and for what objective, while the man is at home watching TV. Umar radiallahu anhu took this container from her and he filled it up and then he took it to her house and he told her, go to Umar radiallahu anhu tomorrow in order for him to provide you with a servant. She said, I will not be able to reach him. I mean, this is Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, inshallah, you will reach him. Just go to him tomorrow. So she went the next day and she found him. She didn't know that the man that was speaking to her and that helped her was Umar radiallahu anhu. He wasn't wearing anything fancy. And so she got scared and she ran away. So he sent people after her and he supplied her with some spending money and with some, with khadim, with a servant. So the Shaykh said, oh Muslims, this is the biography, it's a long biography of a man. That this, you know, the time of the khutbah does not allow us to elaborate on all of it. But we only try to bring that which will be of benefit for us. So our children will see a live example, at least well through history, of what Muslims used to be like and how they lived their lives, as opposed to the examples that they have today from cricket players and soccer players and basketball players and singers and actors and everybody in the world. Everybody in the world except the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. Everybody is an example to be followed, whether in their hairstyle or in their appearance or in their dress code. They imitate every Tim, Tom, Dick and Harry, but the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions are unimportant. And whose mistake is it? Is it the mistake of the child? Is it the mistake of the child? It's our mistake. It's our fault. Our shortcomings. We don't give them the right direction. We don't give them the right environment for them. How many of us, how many of our children don't know this? How many of them are hearing this for the first time? Although this is something that we should be attached to. The seerah and the qasas and of the sahaba is something that we should be in agreement with in our lifestyle. So this Muslim, this generation will get some examples to be, or maybe somebody will say, I want to be like Umar. Someone, one of them will say, I want to be like Umar, and he will be like Umar, bi-ithnillah, or close to Umar. In our time, he will be Umar for us. And so if we don't take this initiative, it's never going to happen. If we wait for some other people to do it, then the other people wait for some other Muslims to do it, no one will do it. So it is upon me and you to, inshallah, be the leaders in this particular aspect. So, Umar radiallahu anhu, yes, he said, so we are mentioning this, I'm sorry, we are mentioning this today during a time where the Ummah has lost its religious commitment. It has forgotten about its Quran. And verily, those, the righteous predecessors, they were sincere in them hearing this deen. They held to the Quran strongly. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to open the lands. And many people came about like Umar and Sa'ad and Talib and Salah al-Din. He said, so where are you, O Muslims, from your true religion that is supposed to be carried by the people of truthfulness and the people of struggle and the people of seriousness? خُذُوا مَا أَتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ. Allah says, take that which we have given you with power, with strength, with determination. Not just by carrying names or by inheritance. So where are you, all those who are in charge of raising the children, from raising our children upon this kind of mentality, rather than being spoiled, over-spoiled and over excessiveness and luxury? Did you know, all youth of the Muslim, the seerah of Umar? Did you observe his truthfulness and his iman? Did you live his bravery and how he conducted his life? Are you pleased that you have been distracted and diverted away from his seerah radiallahu anhu? Are you happy that you have fallen asleep and did not bother to read about these realities? So he addressed the youth in order to imitate Umar radiallahu anhu in his methodology, his manhaj, by being humble, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being ascetic, and always being mindful of Allah.
read his biography and observe his news, really it is amazing for those who seek that. Then he mentioned the last ayah in Surah Yusuf, barely, and their stories was a reminder and a benefit for people of understanding. So this was the khutbah with some minor additions and deletions, and forgive me for the shortcomings. I wish that we strengthen our brotherhood as Muslims, irrespective of our nationality, our skin color, and the language that we speak. Well, if language is a common language between us, then we should use that in order to strengthen the brotherhood in Islam. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this particular country, there are a lot of activities going on in English. And so if you want to educate yourself or educate your children, then you may do so. We have classes being conducted on a weekly basis in three different locations, 3 days of the week. This is in English, and you know what's going on with Sheikh Yasser in Urdu. Then we have the khutbah translation. Then lectures are being held at different venues, different hospitals. If any one of you wishes to be informed about these events, then kindly visit onewaytoparadise.net, www.onewaytoparadise. No numbers, no spaces. onewaytoparadise.net, not .com. You can subscribe to the email, to the mailing list. Make sure that you send an email with your cell phone number. I will add your cell phone number to our mailing list and our SMS list. Anytime there's an Islamic event in English, whether by regardless of the speaker, of course, if there are people who are qualified, then you will receive a text message and an email. If you can join, alhamdulillah, everything is free. If you're unable to join, at least you have some idea. Maybe you can forward it to someone else. So please, at least be aware of what's going on. You may benefit from this one day, even if you're not interested now. OneWayToParadise.net. Subscribe or send your cell phone number to OneWayToParadise@gmail.com. OneWayToParadise@gmail.com, so we can inform you regarding any lectures or any events that are being held in English. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. جزاكم الله خيرا for staying and being patient throughout this translation. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.